All right, everybody. It is 6 p.m. and 32 seconds in Chico, California on KZFR 90.1. Listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is Youth for Justice, a program about youth being people under 30 and justice issues surrounding them. The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, and or volunteers. So you know, this is all me and whoever else is talking. My name is Isaac Hempseed, and today we have an intern from Alternatives to Violence Project, which from here on out, probably be saying AVP. Natalie Kennedy.
Hello.
Howdy. Who, I'm a team coordinator for Alternatives to Violence, and we just went up and did a basic workshop in the High Desert State Prison near Susanville, California. It's about 2.5 hours from Chico, northeast of here. It was snowing, and it was pretty up there. But what we went up there for was an AVP basic workshop, which is, well, first I guess I'll explain what AVP is for people who might not know. AVP is a Alternatives to Violence Project, is a nonprofit put together by some Quaker volunteers who... after the Attica prison riots in New York, wanted to figure out how they could make life less violent in prison. And out of that came some prison, some guys who were in prison, who worked with these Quakers to come up with a 20-hour about workshop where people can come together, create community, humanize one another, realize that there's usually, and I think always, a nonviolent option when faced with conflict. And what else do you think we get out of AVP workshops?
I saw it as kind of an opportunity to go into the prison and kind of be able to view the inmates from a different perspective, I guess, instead of looking at the prison as something that's dangerous and violent. It kind of gave you a inside look, and like you were saying, it put a human side on the inmates, and you got to kind of connect with them and get to know them as people, not criminals.
That sounds pretty good. So have you ever been in a prison before this?
I had not even taken a tour of a prison. Okay. I had taken a tour once of a jail, but I had never been to a prison.
Okay. But I guess let's go into what your internship is all about. What is it for, a specific area of study or what?
Yeah, so I'm in my last semester at Chico State right now, and I'm majoring in psychology with a minor in criminal justice. I plan to get my master's degree and then hopefully work in the field, and my plan was to always work counseling inmates in the prison system. But actually after my workshop there, I'm kind of reconsidering what I want to do, because after speaking with some of the inmates, they kind of advised me that, you know, I should maybe consider going into the juvenile hall rather than prison, because you know, that was a time in their life when they really wished that they had somebody to guide and mold them, and that's kind of when they think their path could have been different. One of them actually said to me, you know, sometimes once they get to prison, it can be too late for a lot of people. And so that if somebody could kind of intervene in their youth, that might be better. So now I'm kind of considering working in a juvenile hall rather than a prison.
That brings up one of the activities that we get to do in these workshops, where we basically ask people to change seats when they have a similar aspect or trait as the person in the middle of a circle. And a lot of times you say, like, who were, well, this game's called A Big One Blows. And what you say is, a big one blows when, for people, a big one blows for people like me, who, and then a lot of times you hear someone say something to the effect of, were locked up before they were 18. And so many guys in prison seem to move when that happens. And it's like, oh, yeah, maybe hitting on juvenile hall and trying to get some help there would be a good place
yeah,
to do that.
I noticed that many of the men that were older, like when you asked them how long they had been there, it had been almost 20 years for some of them. And so, and then the other ones, some of them were only like in their early 20s. So yeah, I definitely think that intervening at a young age would help a lot more and be important.
Yeah, so have you been to a juvenile hall
either? I have not. I guess okay. That would be my next step, is to kind of look into that, because like I said, I had always imagined myself working with the age group more after 18, but now I kind of have a new perspective, I guess. And I mean, I have worked at summer camps for underserved youth in heavily populated gang neighborhoods, so I guess I could use that to my advantage and kind of work with the experience that I have from that. But yeah, I guess I have a lot to learn still. Mm-hmm.
I think we all do, hopefully, if we're honest and want to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
But what else can I say about AVP? So I guess we can walk people through how getting into a prison even works. Because sometimes, like for me, that was kind of eye-opening and interesting because of my military background, getting through checkpoints and stuff. Like just the whole process like intrigues me, and so I'm guessing it'll intrigue other people. So we got up there, it took like 2.5 hours. So do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I could start. All right. Yeah, so for me it was all new, and kind of going up there I didn't really have any expectations of what was going to happen. You know, I didn't really know what was going to happen, I guess. And so getting there, it actually was a little less of a hassle than I thought it would be. And so you kind of get to the prison and you start to see all the gates and stuff. So you're like, oh, wow, okay, this is real, you know. And then they check your ID a lot. That is one thing I noticed. And you know, it was hard for me, I guess, to remember to not bring electronics in because, you know, we rely so heavily these days on our electronics. So for me, I realized when we got there on the first day that I had forgotten to take my watch off because I didn't really think about it being electronic. But yeah, no electronics was, which actually ended up being kind of a weird thing for me all weekend. I kept, anytime I had some free time, I was like, well, I'll just check my phone. And then I remembered like I couldn't. But I did bring a book, so that was nice. And then basically they check your bags. And then every time you go through one gate, the next gate can't open until that one closes. So that was kind of an interesting thing. But yeah, I actually kind of was surprised at how easy it was, I guess, to be cleared to get inside. And once you're in there, I mean, to me, I noticed that being there for 3 days felt like a lot longer, maybe because the scenery doesn't really change. And like while you're there, you're just kind of imagining what it would be like to be stuck there. And so when I left, I know it felt like I had been gone for so long, and that could have been just the environment, I guess. But
yeah, it's like weird to leave prison after even just a few hours and you're like, oh yeah, this is what real life is like, and those guys are stuck in that for a long time. But Moses Salgado is back.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I was just so intrigued with the conversation, just wanted to listen in. I when you just get so interested in something and you just kind of hear passion in people's voices and what they're talking about, you just want to sit back and listen. You don't even want to share. I've never been into a prison. I've been in a jail before, many moons ago. I was visiting my mom actually when she was serving some time, quote unquote, you know, that's what they call it. And I was 12. So that was 8 years ago. And, a lot of the things that you were saying, definitely bring up those old memories, and it, you know, feels so long ago, but I still remember my first time entering a jail, you know, pulling up and just being a kid and just seeing the tall fences and just layers of barbed wire. And like you said, people there, they're kind of just straight faced. There's not much emotion. It's a pretty bland area to be in. And then you get to, you know, you're in the room where there's all these people, you know, seeing their family members again. And there's so much emotion when you see people who are in jail or in prison being able to see their family members on what they call the outside. And you just see these people have just a lot of care for each other in a system that seems like it doesn't care about the people that are within it. And it really makes you want to find a way to intervene in that institution and find a way to prevent it from being such a depressing place. Because that's what I really noticed about jails and prisons, that it seems like there's not much prospect for people, because they're just caught in this trap of, you know, everyday life of just the same routine.
Yeah, something interesting I kind of noticed or thought of just now is there was a few moments throughout the workshop where some of the inmates mentioned something like the workshop was a way for them to escape the prison for a little while. And like those 3 days were a time when they didn't feel like how they would feel throughout all the other days when AVP wasn't going on. And it kind of felt that way to me for them as well, if that makes sense, where I kind of forgot that they were inmates as well. And there were a few moments, I know when we were exiting the building that we were in, seeing them get patted down by the guards before going back to where they were supposed to do. It was kind of a weird feeling to me, where I was kind of like, wait, why are you doing that? Like, I kind of forgot that they were prisoners. And then, you know, we're walking the same direction as them, but now there's a fence between us. And that was just kind of a weird moment for me, because they didn't seem dangerous or like criminals to me.
Yeah. I get teary-eyed sometimes, especially at the end, because like I've facilitated a lot of workshops with a few of these guys, and like I know most of at least those guys are pretty rehabilitated, whatever the title of the whole California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation is called. Like, I mean, these guys are better at like facilitating a non-violence workshop than I am, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go get road rage as I drive back to Chico or when I have to drive. But yeah, it's like, I mean, this is a level 3 and 4 prison, which means that this is pretty high level, and these guys might have killed people and all this stuff. We don't know, and we're not supposed to ask that when we go into prison, just so everyone knows. So, and even if they did tell us, we have confidentiality thing, so we won't get too personal with stories that we've heard. But these guys are still humans, and that's what I really like about the about AVP, because it's just it's a great way to actually connect with these guys. And I haven't been to a prison where there's females, but there are females in prisons, but it just seems I don't know, like there's a better way to do it. And I kind of lost my train of thought, but sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say something that I kind of took me a few days to process after going to the prison. It's just having these positive feelings and making these like great connections with people that, you know, have kind of made some really bad decisions or done had some really bad behavior in the past. It's just kind of a weird feeling, I guess. You don't really like, you're explaining, it's hard to explain to people, I guess. That's what I found when I got back. It's especially the first few days, it was really hard for me to explain my experience because it just kind of, you doesn't connect sometimes for people. You're talking about your experience and it's so great, even though it was in a prison and you're with people who maybe are in for life without, or for, yeah, for life without parole. It's just kind of a weird, I guess, thing. But I think of my experience very positively, and I almost think it's something everybody should do just because you learn so much. And it's so easy to think of prison and only think of it negatively, and that everybody in there should be in there forever or something. And so I think it's something that, you know, I feel really grateful to have experienced because I feel like I just learned so much.
Yeah, it sounds like an empathetic experience to go through, is to meet with people who, like you said, have either been in there, you know, they're going to be in there for life without parole, or they're in there for some type of violent crime. And out on, you know, out here in the real world, I suppose, we see these people and we just dehumanize them and see them as, you know, another number in a cell block, instead of actual people with lives and families and goals that they once had, who were born in this world just as we were and born innocent, and then, you know, made choices that led them to this place, and now they're in there for X amount of time. And, you know, it's being in that cycle, it feels as though there's no way out sometimes. And to be able to go in there and actually talk to them face to face and establish a relationship and a connection with them on a human level is an important thing. And I agree with you. I think that everyone should at some point go in there and talk to these people and get to know them, because they're people. And if we had more of that, I think that there'd be less of I think the word is recidivism.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you get out of prison, then you go back because you get into the real world and it's so much different than what you were used to beforehand.
Yeah. And I think that kind of goes into, I mean, like for me, it was a little intimidating going into the prison initially, just because I didn't really know how they would react to me. And like, if they would be kind of like, oh, you're not going to understand what we've been through. But I learned very quickly within the first activity that we did. It was one of those activities where you have to find people that go with, like, maybe a line says someone who's broken a bone, and you have to go around the crowd and have someone write their name who has broken a bone. So kind of like a little icebreaker. And that activity alone kind of settled my nerves about the inmates and the guys that we were going to be meeting. And I think it just shows, you know, they weren't at all like, you're not going to understand. They were so appreciative that I was trying to understand, and just that, you know, people care, I guess. And so, I mean, for them, it was also like, it was very positive for me, but having people from the outside was very positive for them too. So, yeah.
You've been the third intern I've gotten to take to prison. I'm the AVP intern coordinator for the Chico area right now. And it's always interesting to, like, I haven't had an intern who hasn't just right away felt safe and everything in prison. But I was, like, watching because I'm like, I hope she or he, because we've had a male intern too, is okay. And I tried to check in and make sure you were good, but it seemed like you were fine, like, yeah, within the first 10-15 mm-hmm. minutes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, at first, and even for me, but I'm more of a shy person, I guess, but like for that exercise, going to find people, I feel like I'd be bad at that one anyways, whether I was in prison or not. But yeah, it's pretty quick how fast the guys warm up, especially since so how this prison works is there's 4 yards, technically 5, but the fifth is like a admin SEP and the whole kind of yard, so no one goes down there very much for programs. But there's A yard, B yard, C yard, and D yard. So 4 yards, and on each of those yards is 5 buildings. And for most of the yards, we have around 10 to 15 facilitators on the inside. And these are guys that facilitate the workshop with us. And it can vary based on the prison or based even on the yard, but on most of the yards there right now, at least, there's a chair of AVP on each yard, and then there's a building head, and then facilitators under all of them who make sure that we can do minis, which are like 1 or 2 hour workshops where guys can go do that while they're waiting to do a basic or an advanced, which is the next workshop that is after this basically you just went to this last weekend. In that one, you basically get to pick what topic you want to do more activities on, whether it be community building, empathy training, communication skills. There's a bunch of different topics that we can formulate a workshop together with different activities to focus on. And then a training for facilitators, which is where you learn how to be a facilitator. But what I was saying about the prison was while they're waiting for those workshops, they can go do a mini with the inside facilitators. But to do the main workshops, they can't do like a basic, advanced, or a training for facilitators without an outside facilitator coming in, which I guess makes sense, especially with the prison system needing an outside sponsor of any workshop that gives credits, which AVP does. If you go to both a basic and an advanced workshop, I believe you get a milestone credit, which can give you some time off your sentence. So that's good. And some guys say that they come for those points at the end of the workshop, but by the end of the workshop, they just admit it and they're like, but, well, I guess I'm talking for people, but it's true. They end up enjoying it anyway.
Yeah, they go there for one reason, but yeah, come out of it being like, wow, I'm really glad that I did that. Like, you know, even though I came to get some time off my sentence, I feel like I took this experience and got some value out of it. Please.
Yeah, and I think as an outsider, even I like gained and learned stuff about myself through the workshop. And I think that's really cool. Like, even for me, there were some things like, we had to do an activity where we had to role play a situation. And for me, that was really hard because it was about something that had happened in the prison. So for me, I mean, it was hard for me to relate to the situation or scenario because I have not been in prison. But instead of choosing the role that was more fit for me, I chose to be one of the pissed off inmates. And that was really hard for me, but I was in my head, I kind of thought, you know, these men are going out of their comfort zone and putting so much effort into this workshop that I want to show that I'm also doing the same. And I did my best to be angry. I don't get angry very often, but after I did, you know, a few of them came up to me and said, you know, thank you for doing that. That meant a lot. It showed that you really, are trying to, you know, so that was kind of cool. So even as not an inmate, I also gained a lot from the workshop, which is good because, I mean, we have community workshops as well, right? Where they're not held in the prison, just for people in the community.
Yes, there are community workshops. We haven't had one in Chico for a while now, so hopefully there'll be another pretty soon. They're also 20 hours. We run them basically the same way. We can do some more of the more like like, I want to say, like, ones where you can, like, touch people's shoulders, because there's the rule in the prison that we can't do anything but give handshakes. No hugs, no back pats, really. No nothing, really.
Wow.
It's... makes sense for safety reasons, but
yeah, I feel like I'm learning so much just listening to you two. Like, I don't even want to talk, I just want to hear you guys speak, and like I want to ask, I feel like I want to interview you guys and like get to know more about these workshops, like the length of them, the way they roll, like it's fascinating.
Yeah
We'll do a quick underwriter.
Totally
Sorry.
So Youth for Justice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Deborah Lucero and Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunities through art and culture by producing community festivals and events, including Arttoberfest, the True North Tour, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn more about the Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by BCAC.TV, Butte County's public access television station, broadcasting on Comcast Channel 11. BCAC.TV provides award-winning locally produced arts, information, and entertainment at 500 Main Street, including daily broadcasts of Democracy Now!, weekends at 5 p.m. and 11 p.m. Things are changing at Comcast Channel 11. For more information or to get involved, visit BCAC.TV.
Thank you, Moses.
Yeah, thank you, Isaac. Just to get back to the AVP, can you guys just really quickly, if you haven't already, give me a quick breakdown of like the length of these workshops, and maybe like just touch on a few things that's involved, because you said they're 20 hours?
Sure, yeah. So most AVP workshops are aimed to be 20 hours. Usually... the workshops I've gone to and helped with are Friday nights, all Saturday, and all Sunday. Recently, we've been going late Saturday and getting out earlier on Sunday, especially with our trip back from Susanville. Sometimes it can be snowy and icy and rainy,
yeah,
or whatever. But yeah, it's aimed at 20 hours. We have a workbook that we create an agenda for the weekend out of, although we do these workshops, in prison during the weekdays as well. And sometimes that actually works better for some of the guys' schedules as they get their, visits on the weekends.
Okay, cool. What's the length of one workshop, of just like one session that you guys are in there for? Is it like is it 4 hours? Is it 6 hours? Is it two? Can it go to eight?
Well, on Saturday, I think it actually is around 11 hours.
Wow. 11 hours.
And then Friday's a little shorter and Sunday's a little shorter, but they're still about six at least hours.
So these are lengthy, times that you guys are really engaging with each other and, you know, digging into these different topics and getting to know other people and gaining perspective.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would say so. Wow. I feel like it's like one of those times where you get to know people very quickly because of both the activities and the length of time you spend with them.
Absolutely. That's intense. That's really intense.
Yeah, it was tiring.
Yeah. Afterwards, I bet you just felt drained when you left. You were just like exhausted. I was just like, whew, just want to take a nap.
Yeah, we usually split it up into five sections, one section Friday evening. We usually start at 3-ish and end at 7-ish.
Dang.
But we get there a little earlier to talk with the inside facilitators and plan out the session. And then, yeah, Saturday and Sunday both have two sessions usually. We do eat lunch with the guys inside. We bring in our food mostly. Sometimes they let us eat a tray, and we're not supposed to share food. So
how's that? I mean, this isn't really related. It's not, but like, how is it eating a tray of prison food? I mean, that sounds very, not appealing to the appetite, but I mean, have either of you tried it?
I tried what they made for themselves, but that was, actually, I enjoyed it.
I'm good?
Not a very picky eater, so I kind of liked it, and I was like, oh, I have to write down the recipe for this. But, I never tried the, like, cafeteria food.
Okay. Okay.
But the way it looked kind of reminded me of dorms from college.
All right.
The food that is served there, so. But they kept saying that their food is never warm, which I think that would get old really quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
I've always heard that it's good to get the kosher because it has to be fresher for religious reasons.
Okay.
And halal is basically the same as well. I believe kosher is the Jewish thing, and then halal is the Islamic thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Yeah. I don't want to digress too much. It's just something I wanted to, just to give the audience something to think about. some food for thought. No pun intended.
I haven't eaten dinner yet, man. But, we do have lunch in there. So that takes up some of the time too. And yeah, there's two sessions on Saturday and two on Sunday. Is how we usually set those up. Actually this coming weekend, I'm doing another workshop. But this time it's down at the Discovery Challenge Academy in Lathrop, which is between Manteca and Stockton, that beautiful area down there.
So what are you going to be doing in this workshop?
So this one is actually a youth workshop.
Awesome.
And it'll be my first facilitation of doing one of those. So I hope to learn how that works. But this one's actually a 2-day, so I believe we'll do a really long Saturday and a longer Sunday for this one.
Nice. But, what's the age range here? What's the?
This is a, so it's called the Discovery Challenge Academy. It's a 22-week program set up for at-risk high schoolers who are at risk of dropping out of high school and stuff like that. So it's all high schoolers.
So we're looking at like 14, 13?
14 through
18?
18.
Okay.
I don't
okay.
think they have adults. But it's actually located on an army base.
Huh.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I think it'll be my first time back on a military installation for
a
few years.
But,
So yeah, this is weird because they're letting the Alternatives to Violence Project on into this place to teach AVP, which I think is great.
Yeah, yeah, on a military base, which is a little ironic,
yeah,
in a way,
could be.
In a sense.
I mean, I was a Marine, I was in an army, so maybe it's different.
There might be some.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
Yeah.
But it's in Lathrop, and this is actually run jointly by the National Guard and the school district down there.
Cool.
I'm pretty interested to see how both an AVP workshop runs and how these military youth installation places run, and just be a better facilitator. Because I also am a substitute teacher now. I know you both know. But, doing this kind of stuff also helps me in the classroom because, like, I'm learning how to read how some of these kids are behaving and be like, oh, I could not escalate the situation by saying, I'm going to move your check mark and do this and that. So I try to use more nonviolent and, consensus-driven techniques to make my classroom days like more
beneficial to all parties involved so that everybody comes out of it feeling like, you know, that was a really good class that I went to. Like I learned something, or I feel like I grew a little bit as an individual. And it's fascinating to hear you working with young people. It's something that our society, we always talk about, you know, the children, but we seldom ever do anything to truly try and influence or help them in their situations. Whether they're just students in high school, sitting in a classroom, discovering what they may want to do in the future, or if they're students who are at risk, for either dropping out or possibly engaging in criminal activity and trying to, you know, intercede in that process and help them out, and ensure that they don't end up getting caught in this feedback loop of just, you know, negativity and you know, violence and being put into a violent institution in the future, where they may feel like they don't have a prospect for later in their life. So it's awesome to hear you're going to be going there and working with some students. And then you said that you also are looking to work with kids in juvenile systems and with counseling.
Yeah, hopefully I need to get my master's degree first.
Of course. Yeah.
But that's my next step. And then, you know, hopefully when I get to do field experience, when I'm getting my degree, I'll be able to maybe choose an agency that works with youth and see if that is a fit for me. Because it's definitely something that I would be interested in. And I think that is something that needs a lot of attention that doesn't necessarily get. So I think that if I can put my efforts towards that, that would be a good thing.
Absolutely.
Do you think that the youth at the military place will be more responsive or participate more than in the prison or less?
Well, that's another thing I can say about AVP is it's supposed to be a voluntary place to be. So hopefully I think they're called cadets at this place, aren't forced to be in our workshop. Because really that kind of defeats a lot of what you're there for. Because, like, if you have to be there, it might turn into just you sitting there and, like, hearing all this pretty heavy stuff sometimes from other participants, and then you not really being engaged and participative makes it so that other people in the workshop might not be as responsive and participative themselves.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that, like, is kind of determined by the vibe of the people that are participating. Like, I feel like it kind of, you know, people kind of follow the leader in that sense. You know, if one person opens up and shares something maybe that was really hard for them, it'll make others feel more inclined to do so as well. So I guess it's sometimes about those first few people who open up. But I found the group of people we were with in the prison to be very cohesive.
Yeah, sometimes you see what exercise the ice is broken. For this one, I think it was broken the whole time.
That's awesome.
That's another thing. I mean, we're going topic to topic, but I think people can flow with us, so it's cool. But I think what... A lot of times. So this prison is split up into a... Special Needs Yard, SNY is the acronym, and then just the regular main line. And what that means is Special Needs Yards house the guys who used to be guards and police, and they're also the yards where some LGBTQ folks get housed, as well as pedophiles, but also, and mostly what these are made up of is guys who've dropped out of gangs, or maybe who never were in one or wanted to be affiliated with one, but usually it's a dropout. So this yard, which we were on, was this one of these SNY yards. And it's, or I guess it's just SN Yard. But they do sometimes seem to be a little more open because they are not as worried and precautious of who's around, who's in their workshop, who they want to have know some pretty deep things about themselves. Whereas on a mainline, I haven't seen it too much because people still share quite a bit over on the other yards, but they might also not feel as open to speaking about on certain things. but we do go through some agreements before every workshop as well, where we let everyone know that, like, not to talk when other people are talking, and mm-hmm. to be respectful of other people, not put down yourself or others, but also that this is a confidential place and a safe space to really share your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like there's a degree of vulnerability that you expose yourself to when you agree to this workshop and the rules that are put in place that make people feel open to share, you know, intimate things about themselves that they may not share on the daily basis, and a way to kind of vent and just open up and let people know about, you know, what you've experienced in your life. And I think that's important, because so often today we're told to just, like, keep it to yourself or not share it. And with young people, you know, telling them, like, well, just, you know, compartmentalize. And when you do that, you just become callous to the world around you and to what others experience, that you lose your empathy. And you know, once we lose empathy, it's like, what's left of us? We're just like a shell. And that's not how we should be. You know, we should think about the ideal society we want to live in. And if we don't do that and we just tell people, well, just, you know, put it in the back of your mind, well, it's just going to continue to build up over time until it finally explodes. And next thing you know, you get served a sentence of a decade and you're 18 years old and you're not going to get out of prison until you're maybe 30. And in the 21st century, a decade is
the internet.
Yeah, the internet. Mm-hmm. Literally, the world has changed within the last decade. We have smartphones now. There's people in prison who have never experienced these things because they were locked up before these things came out for everybody else. And once you become disconnected from society and you have to get back into it, it's a hard transition to move from an age before internet to an age after internet, where everything's so interconnected and there's all these new systems you need to learn how to be a part of. And you haven't had any practice, and next thing you know, you get released, and you're just in a whole new world, and you don't feel a part of it. You feel like you're ostracized.
Yeah, you're unable to adapt, and then you kind of, I feel like that can sometimes lead to then going back to what you were familiar with. But I would have to agree. This is some good stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. This was just an hour of conversation, wasn't it? just straight talking.
I liked it. I think we're getting stuff out there. We're connecting ideas with each other. We're
definitely
supporting good causes like avpcalifornia.org and the March for Our Lives, Chico. That's a Facebook group and event you can find by typing in March for Our Lives, Chico. And you should be able to find it if you're Facebook savvy enough to have a Facebook account. Thanks, KZFR, for letting us come on here and talk. And I want to remind everyone, the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent